Oh, and this is what's going to happen, and I don't really understand it. No, but just to actually discuss it and not just...
Oh, okay, let's do it. Here's what our purpose was yesterday. We finished talking about cardiac cycle, what goes on in the heart. And we decided that we would move on into the artery. So where is this artery? The artery starts in the aortic valve. And as major arteries, we'll say that the heart goes all the way down here to the arterioles, where there are those arterial sphincters that are going to provide most of the resistance system. In this picture, that was this little high resistance place right there. And so they're moving from the left ventricle or the aorta to the right atrium. That's the site of most resistance. And if we move forward a little bit to this picture that nobody looked at yet because it was on the next page, but now we'll look at it now. What we see is that the arterioles seem to be the location of the biggest drop in pressure as we move from the arteries to the vein. So that must tell us there's the highest resistance. And on this picture, we have dotted the dashed line. What do you think the dash line represents in terms of arterial resistance? More or less resistance?
Wait, which line are we talking about?
The top line.
The top line.
More. Why did you say more? Because you read the little bottom.
Yeah.
Could you have some, if in fact, you had a hard time reading like I do because I, you know, it's got to be right because my eyes and all those things are my right eye and my left eye don't work very well together anymore because they're old. Two people that are optometrists are going to actually work very well.
Yeah.
When I get three pairs for $20 at Sam's.
Sam's Club is part of Walmart.
It is, yeah.
That's right. But you know what? We have to deal with what we have to
do. You could go to Costco.
I could go to Costco, but you know what? It takes me about 17 hours longer to get through the line. The good part about Walmart is even though they didn't go with all those benefits, they hire old farts like me to mark on the thing and say hi. The one guy that used to be there used to have his little oxygen generator there all the time. The guy out parking lot has to But they have a little plaque there.
So if we can't read it, we can tell.
He was there for years and years.
They don't have a plaque. They
do have a plaque.
He died
in the parking lot? He sat down working and he was done living in shot, yeah.
So if we couldn't read the words at the bottom of the screen, we could tell that there was increased resistance because the initial pressure is higher.
Is that what you're
Thank you.
To say?
What Megan said was, getting back to what we were talking about, and as a consequence, if I look at this, at the curve here, and I'm looking at the pressure, if the resistance in the arterioles increase, then, if I stand in my model, what I have here, if this resistance increases, then I would expect there to be more volume over time in the arteries, and I expect the pressure to be higher. And in fact, That's what we see. And why is this pressure? Why is this pressure down here lower after the resistance?
Because there's stronger recoil.
Because not because it's stronger, because what happens as that goes through that resistance, it loses energy. Right? So that's lower down here. Similarly, if we decrease the resistance, then we see that there's less energy lost, and so the pressure down here is higher. So what we want to do is stand in here and ask ourselves, really, what is the form of that pressure trace? Does it make sense about what goes on there? And then what we said was, if we're standing in this location, we can't see anything back here, we really can't see anything over there, we can see what's going on around us. And if you look in this direction during systole, when the ventricle is in systole, we see flow coming to us, and we see a lot of flow coming to us, and some flow going away from us. So the amount coming toward us is greater than the amount going away. The volume in this elastic structure increases, which means that the volume is pushing on the walls, and the walls are increasing their recoil because they're being displaced from their resting volume, and pressure increases. And when the muscle relaxes over here, that valve closes now because the pressure in the ventricle becomes less than the pressure in the aorta. And there's no more flow coming in, but there is flow going out, so the pressure at the viewpoint is greater than pressure downstream. The thing that maintains that pressure is the recoil of that structure of the artery or arterial tree back toward its resting volume. And in fact, if that recoil, or if that recoiling artery does not reach its resting volume, you're still going to maintain a pressure in there, which can cause flow down that way. And in fact, that's the case because the next systole comes about before that reaches its resting volume. We'll talk more about that later.
The dashed line that we're talking about, which curve does that correspond to on the graph that we drew yesterday?
Which curve?
Yeah.
Question is, I guess, what line does this refer to on the lines that we drew yesterday? And we talked about an increased resistance, but the only pressure we were talking about is the arterial pressure, and this really refers more to a mean pressure over that cycle, and the pressures we were drawing yesterday were over one cycle. It's not directly related.
So I was noticing that dashed line starts higher than the control.
Right.
And then it goes lower than the control.
That's right.
And when we did curves of increased arterial resistance, it started higher and stayed higher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering why that's different.
But you see it.
I think that was good.
And W5 more picture.
Who's
the
one that we drew?
We were looking at, what you call your basic, apples and oranges. So, the picture that we drew yesterday. Picture that we drew yesterday was a variation of this dashed line. Okay? And you notice that dashed line is only in the aorta. And it's not anything downstream. The picture that we have here. Is all the way from the arteries to the major veins.
Okay.
And so on the other one, we were only looking at this compartment. and we were looking at what that compartment right here. So the analogous piece is that the mean pressure at that point, or the high pressure at that point, we saw when we increased resistance downstream, and we saw that the volume then, the volume of this compartment during systole was higher, and so the pressure there was higher. We would say that that's just like that point. Okay? And then if we go back and we see what else we were thinking about here, we drew what will happen to that trace if the resistance downstream stayed the same. Excuse me, the resistance downstream increased and everything else stayed the same. And what we decided was during systole, this pressure would get higher. Perhaps this slope would be a little bit steeper because the volume is increasing faster because it's not draining out downstream. And we said then that the decay here, which reflects flow downstream, would not be as fast, and so the pressure at this point would be higher because the volume would take longer to leave. And then we said, okay, if that's the situation for that, that was kind of neat. Let's now consider the control again, only this time, let's ask what happens if that artery gets stiffer. And if that artery got stiffer, the artery got stiffer, that's not relevant.
Are we comparing the two?
No, that's not relevant. That's relevant. That's relevant. So now if this wall gets stiffer, whatever volume comes in there, whatever volume accumulation happens in there, this pressure is going to get higher because that's a stiffer wall and it has more recoil. Decreased compliance. And so we said during systole, we would expect that pressure to go higher and it would increase faster than in a control. And then we looked at diastole and we said in diastole now there's more recoil, which means that there's a higher pressure in here. And the higher pressure there pushing along here is going to cause more flow to go out through that resistance at a higher rate. And what we expected was the drop, or the rate of drop that we would see from there to the rate of drop that we would see here, this slope would be steeper.
Would it go?
In the hole. I'm sorry?
Would it?
I would expect that it would decrease beyond the control. Yes.
No, it's the same. The same one.
That was the question.
Yeah.
And the purpose of going through that was several fold. One was to realize if I'm standing inside that compartment, looking around me and seeing what goes in, what goes out, I can predict a lot of neat things. And the reason I can do that partly is because by standing inside the structure, I realize I can't see other pieces of the circulation. I can only see where I'm standing. And I can focus on the question that I really have at hand. That was one thing. Second thing was to recognize that by standing in there, I can make some predictions about things that would change, things make sense to me. The third thing I realized is that by looking at this trace, in various ways, I can learn something about any relative resistance change or compliance change. And I can now start asking other kinds of questions and other kinds of things about what might be going on in that artery. Do I have to memorize those forms? No, I don't. At least I don't, so I can make sense of what's going on in a situation where other things are happening. Does that help? Other questions? Mean arterial pressure. Mean arterial pressure. Is the average pressure in this compartment over time? We're going to talk about mean arterial pressure. Mean arterial pressure in a mammal, in a normal mammal, is about 100 millimeters of mercury. Nowadays, you can see clinically that the clinicians would rather see a lower pressure than that. I don't know why. Well, part of the reason why is because physicians don't see normal people. Physicians see normal patients. And we're going to make a big distinction about that next quarter. We talk about respiration. Because we're going to talk about the partial pressure, normal arterial partial pressure of oxygen. If you ask a physiologist, normal arterial pressure, partial pressure of oxygen is 100 millimeters of mercury. It's not related to blood pressure. But if you ask a pulmonary physician what a normal arterial PO2 is, they'll tell you anything about 80. We'll see why that's the case next quarter. So what the clinicians think, as opposed to the whole normal population, maybe two different things. So that's mean pressure.
Is
that
like aorta?
Yeah.
Is that
well, you see, the amount of resistance offered by this much of the circulation is not very much. So if I measure the arterial pressure at the root of the aorta, and I measure the arterial pressure in the femoral artery, if I'm lying down, I'm not going to see a big difference. Okay? Because unless there's some problem in between. Because the major resistance to flow is in those arterioles. So mean arterial pressure is the pressure over one cycle, and what we see is that because the cycle is not divided equally between systole and diastole, the mean arterial pressure is closer to the diastolic pressure than it is to the systolic pressure.
Because
it spends more time down here than it does up here.
How would you get that?
I would get that by doing one of several things. If I really want to get that as a value that I can measure, then I would put a catheter into an artery, and I would feed the signal through a filter that dampens that out, and I end up with some average blood. If I want to do that any other way, I really can't. So I have to get a guesstimate. And what I can do with a guesstimate is say, okay, I'll take the blood pressure of this person with a cuff, and we'll talk about how that happens in a while, how you can do that in a while. And I'll take the systolic pressure, look at that, and the diastolic pressure, look at that. Think about a good rule of thumb for how much time is spent during systole and how much time is spent during diastole on the side. That is a rule of thumb, which gives me a guesstimate and not an accurate estimate. I'll take the difference between the peak and the trough, and I'll say that the mean is going to be a third of the way between the peak and the trough. So I'll take the difference between the systolic and diastolic, divide it by 3, and add it to the diastolic pressure, and I'll get some guesstimate of the mean. Is there an actual value that's been made for this patient? But it gives me some idea what's going on. So what you see is by doing that, I'm not getting really accurate quantitative data, but I'm getting value and quality. And the pulse pressure we define is the difference between the peak and the trough. And we call the peak systolic pressure, even though it's in the artery and it's not really related to what's going on in the ventricle. And we call it the trough, diastolic pressure, even though the ventricle is a six. Other questions about that? Anybody else?
Squeeze that cup, what do you think is going to happen to this vessel?
It's
It's gonna increase the pressure inside or around?
Around.
Why is it gonna increase the pressure around? The cup is around this. Okay. The bone is inside, and so it's pushed out. And what's gonna happen to the flow through here?
It's
gonna stop. If I do it high enough, it's gonna stop. Then if I release that pressure very slowly, at some point, is there going to be flow through that vessel?
Yes. That pressure.
Only during
pressure. And once the pressure on the inside, the pressure pushing out on the artery matches the pressure being put on it, then the flow is going to start again. It's just like opening the valves. Once this pressure meets this pressure, then it's going to start flowing again.
Okay. So what she said is if the cuff pressure is higher than the pressure in the artery, there's going to be no flow. But as soon as the cuff pressure gets a little bit less than the pressure in here, there's going to be flow. So if we go back, sorry, is there what?
Like a standard release then of the pressure of the blood pressure?
Yes, when I go really slow, it releases.
You have a little knob that you twist that causes the release there. So if you see the pressure gain slowly increasing the pressure, it doesn't air release out of that blood.
But then you're waiting for the needle to bounce.
No, you're not. That's wrong. You can't do it that way.
Yeah, you're supposed to listen.
You can't do it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen to what?
I love that. Sorry.
The vessel opening and closing.
And so where did they want to listen?
At the cubital fossa.
Yep. At the where? At the cubital fossa.
Okay.
Like right here. And the cup is right here. It doesn't do any good to put the cup here and listen down here. Just don't hear the same thing. So when am I going to hear a noise?
When
blood flows through. And what causes that noise?
Turbulence.
Is that noise caused by a heart valve?
No.
I don't hear a love dove. What I hear is the flow causing the flow, or the pressure causing flow through that obstruction, and then the pressure in here dropping below that, and the obstruction obstructs again. So I hear a click. Okay?
Look, if we're on the ground, does it start?
Okay?
You're listening for turbulence then.
I'm listening for a noise, yeah. I'm listening for turbulence. And I hear that. What I hear is the opening of the vessel and then the slamming shut of the vessel because the cup is still around it.
So at first, that high point, you'll just hear one sound as it's still overcoming that pressure.
I'll hear one sound every time it gets to there.
So what are you listening for? That's the top, is when you first hear sound, but how can you hear the bottom? What is that?
So what do you think I hear?
Nothing.
I hear nothing. So when that clicking
stops,
then I know that there's flow through that, unobstructed flow through that during the whole time. And I measure that point, I say that's the systolic pressure, I measure that, I say that's the systolic pressure. So in this patient, pressure was quite high.
I know you just said it, but just to reaffirm, so you measure when you stop hearing it, and you measure when it starts again?
Other way around.
You measure when you look at the pressure. When you first hear it, and that tells you what the top is, and then when that sound goes away, then you know that the pressure is below, is now no longer including the artery, and the pressure is below the pressure.
Yeah, that's why
Well, maybe we'll just happen to bring something in to allow you to hear that. Okay? Now, the other thing that you can feel, if you're really, in tune with your body, is that you can feel that pulsing through. Between, and maybe we'll do that. We'll bring in one of those real expensive $35 battery operated signal gun. That's what it is. It's a pretty good fire.
The flow starts.
When the pressure in here overcomes the pressure of the cup, then you hear it spurt through.
So you, that whole time, is it intermittent?
All the flow.
All that
flow. No, it's intermittent flow.
It's intermittent flow.
Yeah. It's all
the
flow.
I think here's what happens. Right now, there's no flow. Okay? Right? If I let this gradually
if your pressure is going like this,
then at some point, the pressure in the artery gets greater than the pressure in the artery.
When you first hear that, little flow. But it still has to wait for these curves, the peaks, to be able to break through the pressure.
And pretty soon,
so
if you look at it,
open flow, you would.
Who's got a text book? So we have a text book from the house.
Yeah.
No, I saw it. It was actually.
bring in something.
Okay, here's the whole thing. This is figure 14. In your textbook. Okay? And here we have arterial pressure. Systolic pressure, diastolic pressure. Systolic pressure, diastolic. Here we have the cuff pressure. Here's the cuff. Here's the artery. Here's the stethoscope. Here's some guy's hand. Here's the other guy's hand. Here's the graveyard. He's feeling the pulse. So what happens is he inflates this cup. And the pressure goes up here. The pressure is higher than the arterial pressure, than the systolic pressure, and so that cup is occluded. He doesn't feel a pulse. Okay? He starts to gradually lower the pressure. And right here, for that brief period of time, the pressure in the artery is greater than the pressure in the cup, and he has flowed through there. And make out if he feels anything. But at that point, he's going to hear flow during that period of time. But when the pressure in the artery falls below the pressure in the cup, that's going to be occluded again. As we continue to release the pressure in the cup, there's more and more of the cycle that's going to show flow through there until it gets to the point down here where all during the cardiac cycle there's flow through the artery, in which case there's not going to be any added turbulence caused by the constriction of the cuff, so you're no longer going to hear that sound.
Plate 38 in the coloring book.
At the bottom. Okay? So, we want to talk about this patient.
Can we take a break first?
Yeah.
What was it?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't
that good. I had
beans
and rice and the
beans,
so I was like,
pop. I told you. Wednesday. Not mine. You can get in this way from the corner.
I'm going to let you in.
I'll stand up.
Here. I don't know. Like, here, go that way.
No, we'll just come this way. Okay. And then I'll go past you.
Yeah.
heart spin. Yeah, but I mean, is that indicative of a blockage?
Yeah, probably.
It'd be like pretty similar.
Yes.
It wouldn't decrease just a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, but not by.
I mean, would it would decrease a
little bit. He said that it should be around the same. If somebody was laying down, it should be the same.
Just laying down, yeah.
If you're standing up,
it should be more than the same. Because it's a higher pressure. Kind of like if you ever go upside down.
Yeah.
Throbbing headaches is what he has.
And it explains throbbing headaches because if the
high
blood can't go low, it's going to go up.
Right, he's got high blood pressure.
Yeah. Too much blood to your head.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pressure.
So on this chair, right, the person is blooding
through
her head.
I just never thought
I would think that would give you a headache.
Yeah. I always think that.
I didn't really like that throbbing
headache. I always think that like
would give you a headache.
So where's
the
blood pressure?
So
where's
the blood pressure?
I don't know. That's just like my physical
interest. Yeah.
But I could definitely.
I'm sure that
I just always feel like when I'm super stiff, like
I think that's kind of
that's not actually the worst thing I can change. I'm like,
so, what is the problem? She has a blockage.
But what explains his larger heart?
It's trying to overcome that blockage.
Yeah. So it's just
more stretching.
Okay.
Right? And if the blood's not going to the heart, there's excess blood.
And also, there's a lot of pressure.
Right, yeah. There's a lot of pressure in the aorta. Yeah. The stretch bones a little more in order to get a little more pressure to overcome.
So where's the what do you guys think?
I would say increased resistance
in the descending aorta.
Right before branches, because it's both legs.
Both legs.
I just
the common ilium.
Because it's in,
So there's like the thoracic and the
legs. Is there a lumbar?
I don't think there's a lumbar. I think it's just like descending aorta and the thoracic.
I
think a big clot in there, or atherosclerosis.
But to me, atherosclerosis generally.
What's an arterial?
The most plaque injury, or most problematic plaque injury, is that when they go in,
and what? I'm just saying, could it be any worse?
No, because if it was a block here, then your blood pressure would be
higher. There it is.
Oh, is there, like, what questions do you have?
Trying to know what kind of
amazing what caused the
Well, see, the resistance is...
Wait, okay, why is the heart rate not higher?
Your
that compensates for it. Like, wouldn't the heart beat faster if it was trying to get more? Like, I feel like those are more associated.
I think it's getting enough blood to the brain, so.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That was a problem. Was, yeah. His brain is probably going to say, whoa.
Stop
it. Yeah. And you know, since he's 22, he's probably not going to be much fat built up. He's so young. Unless he's
yeah.
really, really
good.
I mean, you guys have to get more to be like,
yeah.
You expect to be some kind of.
Or there's like genetic things that like can cause scar tissue. My stepdad has like a genetic.
What, when you break his back right there?
It could even be like carcinogenic. Yeah, carcinogenic. You have like a broken arm that can travel.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And it would go, it would be able to be dumped into your veins and through your heart, and then it would just go to where it's stuck.
It would just get dumped to the vein.
Yeah, and that's why the stuff probably in the trunk. Right. But I'm saying, that makes more sense than him, like, just, he's 20
years.
If he was 50 or 60, you'd expect more for that. But there's some studies out now where really fat people are.
Or, like,
I like your posture.
I like them too. They're so nice.
How did you approach this problem? Tell me how you approach the problem. You made a mental model. Okay. Why did you make a mental model? How could you see what was different if you were working in your group and Phantom had made a mental model? Did you look in her ear?
We all came with collective information.
And then what did you do?
And then we talked.
Okay.
We drew a picture.
You drew a picture. Okay. Annie, did you draw a picture too?
My group.
Did somebody draw a picture?
Yeah.
Okay. What does your picture look like?
It's a guy, and he
has
arteries.
Oh.
Arteries. Okay.
I know that guy.
Stick
figure. All right, let's see how you do this.
Make it big.
Things. Make pictures. All right.
So, okay, so then what did you do? I drew the picture, and then what? Okay, where was the pressure high?
In the head of the brachial artery, and then it was low down in the leg, the femoral artery, and the whole system.
Low. Pressure was high up there, and the pressure was low down there. What did you side with the problem in this guy? Why? How did you explain why the pressure was high up there in the thorax and low down here in the femoral artery?
It's just a small opening.
How did we come to that conclusion?
No, that's given.
Okay.
But we said it.
The question is, what did that tell you? And so we have this magic word.
Magic
word is resistance.
Yeah.
Notice we don't know anything about resistance. We don't know anything about where the resistance is. We don't know anything about what the resistance is. All we know is there's a big sign in the sky that says resistance. What about resistance?
Go for it, Amy.
Amy.
Well, we knew that lying down, if a patient's lying down, the blood pressure and the brachial artery should be somewhat similar to the femoral artery.
Okay.
And so we saw a change in that, those two numbers.
Okay, wait a second.
Okay, where did you see that?
Oh, Dr. Mundell actually said that right before we started.
Right now, pressure should be the same, but they're not.
Right. And so there has to be some reason.
Okay, and what reason did you decide?
We said that there was an increased resistance to the lower extremities caused by something.
So there was an increased resistance. Somewhere
pushing on it.
Yeah.
Because if I have this high pressure here and low pressure there, then the resistance must be somewhere in between.
He's feeling it in both of his legs, so we knew it had to be somewhere before the artery.
Okay. So knowing my anatomy, the problem was that. So what does that tell you? Because kind of what you said a moment ago, when before you told me about the other leg, is that there could be a resistance down here. But then you told me that the decrease in pressure happened in both legs, which tells me that the resistance is more likely above them, right? Okay, good job. All right. What else can we find out about this guy? It says here, why do you think he might have headaches? He has this really huge blood pressure. Okay. It's going kaboom, kaboom, kaboom.
We were wondering if with that increased pressure of your body would try to make up for that by constricting the arteries in the brain so that you wouldn't get too much blood flow in that.
If you constricted the arteries, what's going to happen to the pressure?
Increase.
It's going to increase even more. So let's think about. So, if in fact he has that high pressure but the system's going to do that, we're going to find out about what is that? On Monday is that the system will actually cause a decrease in resistance. So he has this huge head pressure. Pressure in his head. Throb, 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 throb. Yes.
Can we generalize and say that headaches are caused by vasodilation in the brain?
No.
I don't know why headaches are caused.
It's the
There are lots of there are lots of different kinds of headaches, and certainly headaches can be related to vascular issues, and perhaps perhaps even pain receptors in the vascular bed. So yes, if I have this, if I have a lot of pressure in the head, I might get a headache. There may be other reasons, and not really all that much known about what that headache really, where the pain is, and what's causing the headache. Okay, what else do we know about this guy? He has cold feet. All right, can you explain the cold feet?
Decreased blood flow to the feet.
Lacks blood flow where? To the feet. As a result of decreased blood
flow.
Pressure. Because what causes flow? Pressure. All right. What else we know about the guy?
His heart is large.
His heart is large. What does that mean?
He's trying to overcome.
Well, what is... What does an x-ray showing an enlarged heart mean to you? How many people have ever looked at a chest x-ray?
I've been in the cath lab and saw them inject the dye into a guy who had an enlarged heart.
Yeah, but in that case, you were looking at the dye, and you really weren't looking in the fluoroscope, but you weren't really looking at the chest x-ray. So what happens when you take, how many people have had a chest x-ray taken? That's all. All right, so what do they tell you? They tell you to take the exam. They put you next to that cold plate, that film, right, have your arms up, and what does it say? What do they say?
Hold your breath.
Hold your breath. It says take a breath and hold it. Okay? And then what did they say? They said, breathe. Because if you're a compliant patient and you're standing up there and they don't tell you to breathe, you're going to fall over in a little while. It's very important to tell your patient that, okay, you can breathe now. So they have that picture. It's a static picture. And in there, they're looking at contrast. Right? And if you have normal lungs, what color are the lungs?
They're gray.
They're gray or they're
white.
Or they're
white.
Or if they're white, you're a deep shed. Okay?
Pink.
When you look at an x-ray,
they're dark.
They're black. Why? Because the x-rays are going through air and they're not scattered or absorbed. What happens if your lungs are white? What's in there?
Fluid.
So what do you see? What do you see somewhere in the middle of an x-ray toward one side?
A heart.
See a shadow of a heart. So if the x-ray shows that you have an enlarged heart, what does that mean? What are the possibilities, when you think about that enlarged heart, of why that shadow might be bigger? There could be two possibilities. Pardon? There could be muscle thickness or a thickening of the muscle, one possibility. Or there could be increased fluid in the heart, increased volume. What do you think? Well, Chad would also tell me that maybe there's increased fluid in the pericardium. What? Which of those possibilities do you think are most likely in this patient?
Increased fluid.
Increased fluid? Why?
Because even, let's say you just like chop your legs off or cut them off so the blood's not going down there, but you still have the same amount of blood. And all that blood's going to be in your upper body. which is the cause for the increased pressure. And so there's going to be increased pressure on your atrium, which is going to cause increased fluid going into the ventricle, which enlarges the heart.
That's a neat explanation. The only thing that's troublesome about the explanation is that you told me that the reason the pressure here was high was because there was this huge resistance downstream, and not because there was an increased volume in the whole system.
So couldn't it be either?
Well, on the hypothesis that you're working, you're saying there's a resistance here, and that high resistance is causing an increased pressure in here. So that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have an increased return.
When you increase your heart size, like say athletes who have a little bit increased heart size, you're also going to make more blood to try and regulate your heart to be more regular. Because otherwise, you'd be like beating really, really fast all the time. Work out a lot.
So I have an idea. Let's think about this problem as complicated a way as we can. Let's invoke every possible thing that could happen in the whole wide world with the system does, even though we've never talked about it. If you think the real question, what you told me, what I heard you say, is that there could either be more volume or the ventricular wall could be thicker. Somebody had a comment over here.
Well, I was just going to say, in terms of muscle mass, like with obese patients, you see that their hearts get larger because it's having to pump harder. And so in this case, maybe instead of volume, because the volume in the body has, there's still blood in the legs, it's just probably deoxygenated old blood. I don't know. But
just sitting there.
Something like that. But the heart, because there's sensors in the legs that are saying it's not getting oxygen, your heart's going to try and pump harder to get blood down to your legs. And if there's that, because of constriction or something, that muscle gets developed and it's pushing harder and harder, so you might actually have more muscle developed. That's working hypothesis.
I was
going to
say that if it's working harder, that the lower extremities are not getting enough
strength. Why do you think it would be working harder?
Not
to try to get circulation. Why do you think it might be working harder? Because we haven't talked about what regulates or what controls blood flow to those peripheral things.
It would be
we
working harder.
About that. What do we know about?
It'd be working harder to open up the valve of the aorta.
Pardon me?
Would it be working harder so it could open up the valve of the aorta?
Would it be working harder because it has to generate a bigger pressure to open the before the aortic valve opens? Sounds good to me. What is one of the dangers that Modell would tell you about having this neat arrangement with the club across the street?
The exercise.
What might happen?
Bad thing.
Boom. And in this guy, what might happen? What are we talking about? Notice how easy they get distracted? So here's what I heard. This is really neat. You take this back and work with your... Okay? See if it works. Modell says, why might this heart be larger? Okay? And the person says, because it has to work harder. Generate the pressure. Open the valve. So Modell says, what's the danger of joining an exercise club? Okay? And then we have another comedy heard. And what do they say? Oh, you might fall down and hit your nose.
What?
What happens when you go over there? This is really neat, because what happens is, I know you guys do this. I don't know why you do it. I never figured out. But you pick up these weights, and you go like this. And then what happens? You know what happens? Is that you get a phone call and you run off and do something else. And you keep doing that. Because you always start at the same place. And pretty soon, you have this huge arm on this side. And on that side.
Who taught you that?
What outcome? So if the muscle works harder and exercises, it's going to hypertrophy. And we'll let you worry about what that means in terms of cell size or cell number. And histology, it's not physiology, it's histology. So it makes sense in this guy, because he has to generate a lot more work with his heart, that the height is hypertrophy, the muscle is stronger, the muscle is bigger, and when I look at that from outside, the x-ray, I see an enlarged heart. Okay?
Okay.
Is that large part in the nerve selection for the volume that should be there if there's a high pressure and high resistance?
No, in this case, you're not saying that the enlarged muscle is decreasing the size of the chamber. It's just getting a thicker wall. Okay? And so by having that thicker wall and having that bigger muscle, it can generate more force to pump the blood up.
So what happened to this guy?
It says special x-rays and arterial angiography were then carried out to confirm the suspected diagnosis, and the patient was admitted for corrective surgery. And so you decided the suspected diagnosis was an increased resistance in here. And what do you think that resistance might have been caused by?
Plaque.
Now that's one possibility.
I thought because they used that test that it wasn't something outside of the arteries, and so it might have been something in the arteries, so we thought it was a blockage in the arteries.
Yeah, as you said, plaque.
Plaque is built up
on the inside of the arteries. That's one possibility.
What about collecting just the lower
extremity? Wouldn't what collect?
Plaque. Doesn't it collect at the end of the heart?
No. Plaque is not... Plaque doesn't collect the way you're thinking about collecting contributions in a tin can. The word collect. Plaque doesn't collect. It's actually deposited. Okay? So it's deposited wherever the forces that allow that deposition take place. So yeah, I would expect to see in a patient with plaque in the coronaries, I would expect to see plaque in other places as well. So that's one possibility. Maybe it's building up, maybe the plaque is building up. But usually that's because that might build up, I think of that, either because of damage to the arterial wall, or I think of that maybe because of a low flow state.
We thought it might have been an issue with like the sphincters also, maybe like a malfunctioning sort of muscle.
Well, that could be okay, except there are no sphincters there. It's getting pinched off. Maybe by something pushing on the outside?
Yeah.
Okay, like, let's see. There's a 22-year-old guy, so there's no baby. What else might happen? Maybe his pants are too small.
So you're gonna have to start buying larger.
You guys haven't had embryology yet, right?
No.
What might have happened, you think, embryologically?
Something got twisted around.
Something got twisted around, or something got narrowed. What do you think may have been narrowed here in development?
One of the valves.
Is it one of the valves?
No, like the descending.
Like the what?
Descending aorta.
Like the descending aorta. And so what happens is he has this huge resistance here because he has a narrowing system. It's called coarctation of the aorta. And it is a... And so how would you fix this?
That's why he never
like this. How would you fix this naturopathically?
Surgery.
It's like a tree.
You take, here's how you do it. You take a big willow branch. And you shove it down there. But I don't think insurance will cover it. And so they surgically repair that, and his blood pressures in the brachial artery and the femoral artery are nearly normal.
Did you fix that with stents?
I don't think you could. No, I don't think you could fix it with a stent. I think what you'd probably, it depends on the problem, but what you'd probably do is to do kind of some sort of a graft around it. Stent implies that the structure is there, and by pushing it apart and opening it up, it would stay there. But I don't know really how much tissue there is there.
That was an Israeli invention.
A stent?
Really?
Yeah, he thinks he's real.
No, you wouldn't get a bypass. No, they're gonna repair the nerve. So they may end up in today's world, and I don't know. I don't pay attention a whole lot about that. But in today's world, what they actually might do is replace that piece of paper, either as a synthetic or something.
Next quarter's gonna suck.
Yeah,
we're gonna be here like every minute. Wait, what?
Okay.
Our schedule's just crappy.
Good.
Why wasn't that?
Hmm?
Oh, in that case, you would think about a narrowing as a generic kind of thing, an increase in resistance. That could be plaque development, could be a narrowing because of a coarctation, a stenosis, could be a blood clot. But what you see is that I wouldn't think of a blood clot. The reason I wouldn't think of a blood clot is because it didn't develop suddenly. Okay? That would be more gradual, but in this particular case, he's kind of young for plaque.
Yeah.
This is really.
Yep. Okay. So on Monday we will continue on and look at the.